The book of 2 Samuel. Book of 2 Samuel, what's it about? Let me ask you this. What's the book of 1 Samuel about? King Saul. 1 Samuel is about King Saul. So the book of 2 Samuel, who do you think that's about? King David. Book of 3 Samuel, who do you think that's about? King Solomon. Close. 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 3 Kings, 4 Kings. That's actually how they were, that one time, that's how they were looked at. Not 1 2 Samuel, 1 2 Kings. It was 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 3 Kings, 4 Kings. That would be an easy way to remember what book was about who, right? Got 1 Kings, about 1 Kings Saul, 2 Kings, which is our 2 Samuel, about King David. So that's who we're reading about in 2 Samuel, is primarily about King David. He's the second king of Israel. That's on your prophet card, by the way. That's one of your easy questions on your second king of Israel is David. Does David know that answer? Casey, does David know that answer? The second king of Israel. Does David know who the second king of Israel was? David, who's the second king of Israel? David is exactly right. So the second king of Israel was David. Now, he was a little bit older than David when he became king. On your priest card, how old was David when he became king? Ripe old age of 30. He was 30 years old when he became king. How long did he reign? How many years? 40 years. Reigned for 40 years, became king when he was 30. But I want you to go to 2 Kings chapter 6. And this is a story in 2 Kings chapter 6 that we need to know. Sometimes you look at Bible stories and you say, why is that in the Bible? Why does God talk about times when people were killed in the Bible? What's going on here? 2 Samuel chapter 6, we read the story about Uzzah and his brother Ahio. And Uzzah and his brother Ahio were in charge of transporting the Ark of the Covenant in 2 Samuel chapter 6. And so these sons of Abinadab put the ark on a new cart. You know they had to feel good about that. Lord, we didn't go down to the used cart store. We got you a brand new cart. It's got 10-year, 100,000 mile, bumper-to-bumper warranty. It's the best we could find, Lord. And we put the Ark of the Covenant on here. And so they're transporting on this cart, and they come to Nacon's threshing floor, and the Bible says that the oxen stumbled. What did Uzzah do? Well, Uzzah reached out and he touched the ark. On your prophet card, there's a question on your prophet card from 2 Samuel chapter 6. Killed because he touched the Ark of the Covenant. Well, we've already said his name. It was Uzzah. Sometimes we read Bible stories and we think, one, why was that in the Bible? And two, why would God do that? He was struck dead because he touched the Ark of the Covenant. Now, we have to surmise. The Bible doesn't tell us. Bible doesn't tell us what Uzzah was thinking. But what do you figure that Uzzah was thinking? I got to save this. We can't let the Ark of the Covenant fall down to the ground, break into pieces, so I've got to save it. If that is the case, were his motives pure? Was he sincere? And was he genuine in the reason that he did this? Sure. Did he have a right to do what he did? He did not have a right to touch the ark, and so he was struck dead. And being struck dead, what was David's response? David got angry. David got angry with God. And then David got afraid. That's a good reaction too. Then David got afraid, and so he said, no, 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 stop. We're not bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the city of David. He says, we're not bringing this into the city if that kind of thing is happening. So they turned aside and they took it over to Obed-Edom's house, and they stored the Ark of the Covenant in Obed-Edom's garage. And guess what happened to Obed-Edom for 3 months? What does the Bible say happened to Obed-Edom? He was blessed. Good stuff happened. Why? Because God was there. Isn't that interesting? The presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, was dwelling in Obed-Edom's house. And when the presence of God is dwelling in your life, good things happen. He was blessed for those 3 months that it was there. On your priest card, there's some listing of key chapters over on the right-hand side of your priest card. And one of the key chapters that's listed there is 2 Samuel chapter 6. And so if you learn some of the key chapters in the Bible, what happens in 2 Samuel chapter 6? Uzzah touches the ark. And he died because he touched the ark. But I want to ask you a question. Why is that story such a big deal? Why is that in the Bible? want you to turn from 2 Samuel. I want you to go over to 1 Chronicles. Okay? Turn your Bible to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. Because when you go to 1 Chronicles chapter 13, you are reading a parallel account to what we saw over in 2 Samuel chapter 6. But I want us to see some things that are mentioned over here in 1 Chronicles that we don't read about over in 2 Samuel chapter 6. From your knowledge of the Old Testament, what tribe was responsible for transporting the Ark of the Covenant? Can you all say that louder, okay? The five of you who said it, I need you to say it louder now that everybody else knows the answer. So the tribe that was responsible for transporting the Ark of the Covenant was who? Levi. So who was the second king of Israel? King David was the second king of Israel. Who was the tribe that was responsible for transporting the ark? Levi was responsible. So Uzzah and Ahio were of the father of Abinadab, not from the tribe of Levi. Is that a big deal? I mean, who cares? Who cares who moves it? I mean, when people come, when you hire movers to move your stuff, do you ask them what tribe they're from? You're just like, I'm glad you're here and I'm not moving it. Save my back and break yours. Good deal. It's all yours. Do you ask? No. What's the big deal? They're just moving furniture. Right? No, that's not it. God had specified who was to move it. God had specified how they were to move it. Go to chapter 15. Chapter 13 tells you kind of the story again, but go to chapter 15, and I want you to see. Remember what was David's reaction? He got angry, and then he got afraid. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1. David built houses for himself in the city of David, and he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, remember where was the ark for 3 months? Obed-Edom's house. What was happening over there? Good stuff. David says, all right, it's time to bring the ark here. Here's a tent to put the ark in. The temple was not built yet until Solomon. But look at what David says in verse 2. No one may carry the ark of God but who? Oh, guess what David learned? David learned only the Levites were to transport it. For, verse 2, the Lord has chosen them, the Levites, to carry the ark of God and to minister before Him forever. And so David gathered all of Israel together at Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord to its place, which he had prepared for it. He assembled the children of Aaron and the who? The Levites of the sons of Kohath. Those were the specific Levites that were to transport things. If you go back to Numbers chapter 4, you'll read about the responsibility of the Kohaths to move the furniture that was there in the tabernacle. Look down in verse 11. Verse 11, David called Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, he calls six other men. And in verse 12, he says to these priests and these Levites, you are the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord of Israel to the place I have prepared for it. For, a word of explanation, for because you did not do it the first time. What's he talking about? Uzzah and Ahio. Lord, why did you strike Uzzah and Ahio dead? Because the Levites did not, it's right here. Because you did not transport it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us. Look at what he says. Because we did not consult him about the proper order. You ought to underline verse 13 in your Bible. You ought to know that verse is in the Bible where David says, we messed up. How did we mess up? We did something that God did not want us to do. What'd you do? We used the wrong people to move the Ark of the Covenant, and when we did that, the anger of God broke out against us because we did not even consult God. Did God have a proper order? Yes, He had a proper order. He had the proper people to transport it. Verse 14, the priests and the Levites sanctify themselves, bring up the Ark of the Lord. Look at verse 15. This is another verse you ought to have underlined. The children of the Levites, not of Abinadab, the children of the Levites, bore the ark of God where? On a cart? On their shoulders, by its poles. Well, why would they do something like that, the end of verse 15? As Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord. Isn't that fascinating? When you consult the Lord and you do what he says, the Lord is pleased. But when you don't consult the Lord and you don't do what he says, the Lord is not pleased. And you've got it right there. What an explanation to give in verses 13 and verse 15. Here's what some people wonder. Some people wonder, well, what if the Bible is silent about something? If the Bible just doesn't say something, does that make it okay? If God doesn't, if he just doesn't express anything, if he's silent, does that make it okay? So is silence permissive? Is the silence of God in the Bible permissive? Or is it prohibitive? I want you to think about that question. What did God, and here's the question, what did God say about the sons of Abinadab transporting the ark? He was silent. What did God say about using a cart? He was silent. In other words, he didn't say. Here's what people will say. Where's the verse that says, don't use the sons of Abinadab? Go ahead. Where's the verse? Look up in your concordance. Where's the verse that says, the sons of Abinadab may not move the ark? Where's the verse? Where's the verse that says, don't put it on a cart to transport it? Where's the verse? Thou shalt not use a new cart or any cart to transport. Where's the verse that says that? People use that kind of argumentation, don't they? Where's the verse that says, don't do it? Well, you can answer that in a few different ways. One answer is, it's in the verse where God specifies who was to move it and how they were to move it. But somebody says, yeah, but. Yeah, he said the Levites, but he didn't say that these other people couldn't move it. Is the silence of God prohibitive or is it permissive? What did David learn? Chapter 15 is key. What did David learn? We messed up. We didn't consult what the Lord said. Because what he said helps us to see that we don't have a right to go beyond that which is written. And when God specified the Levites, he didn't have to say a single thing about anybody else, did he? Didn't have to say a single thing about any other tribe. When God specified, you bear it up on those acacia wood poles covered in gold, and you put it through the rings on that, and you bear it on their shoulders. He didn't have to say another thing about a cart, about a mule. He didn't have to say another thing about anything else in the world. He told them what he wanted. We understand that all day long, don't we? We understand that every day. When you work at Starbucks, right? You work at Starbucks, and somebody comes in and places an order. Do they have to tell you everything on the menu that they don't want? Or do they just say, here's what I want? And when you give it to them, are you allowed to put anything you want in there? Oh, you didn't say not to put that in there. Can you imagine standing behind somebody at Starbucks and they say, here's what I want? And I never go to Starbucks, so I can't even make up an order, okay? But here's what I want, right? Here's what I want at Starbucks. And then after they tell you what you want, then they have to list everything on the menu that they don't want so that you know, what would you like to stand behind that person at Starbucks? Here's what I want, but here's what I don't want. Not, because you've got to list every, no. When you specify your silence on everything else on the menu, what is your silence? Is it permissive? Go ahead, Ivan. Go ahead, Taylor. Put in anything you want. No, your silence is prohibitive. I don't have to say, don't put it in there. By specifying, I've told you only what I want there. And the story of Uzzah and Ahio is in your Bibles to teach us that truth. And you might, if you only know what's over there in 2 Samuel chapter 6, you might write in your Bible, 1 Chronicles chapter 15, especially verses 2 and 3, where he talks about the Levites, and then down to verses 13 and 15, you might write those verses next to your margin there so that you see that is the way God intends for us to study Scripture and to understand Scripture. And so when people say to you today, where's the verse that says, don't use instrumental music in worship? You ever heard that? Where's the verse that says, don't use it? It's the same place. It's in the same place where God said, don't let the Levites move it and don't use a cart. It's in the same chapter and verse. Same place. Why? Because when God specifies singing, he didn't have to include anything else. Imagine God specifying singing. Here's what I don't want. I don't want drums, I don't want pianos, I don't want organs, I don't want electric guitars. And imagine those first century Christians being like, what kind of guitars? Electric, what kind of word is that? Imagine if he had to specify everything throughout all the centuries to leave it out. No, when you specify, you automatically exclude. So you get to chapter 7. Let me mention just one thing about chapter 7. You get to chapter 7, and David wants to build the Lord a house. David says, I've got this great house made out of cedar. I want to build the Lord a house. Was David allowed to do that? Not allowed. Why not? Why wasn't David allowed to build the temple? He was a man of war. And for those of us who live on the beach, we've got a whole different understanding of what a man of war is. But here is a man of war who had shed blood, and the Lord says, no, you are not permitted to build the temple. So as we've studied in the family room class the last few Sundays, does that mean that David didn't do anything for the temple? No, he did everything but build it. He made all of the preparations that he possibly could in order to build it. But in 2 Samuel chapter 7, this is on your prophet card. I'm going to ask you maybe two questions here and we're going to be done. On your prophet card, David's first occupation which prepared him to be a righteous king. What was his first occupation? A shepherd. You say, how did that prepare him to be a righteous king? Are sheep stubborn creatures? Are sheep fun to try to train and to lead and to guide? Can you learn a lot about dealing with people when you deal with sheep? Why did Jesus compare us to sheep? There's a reason, right? So here was a shepherd. What kind of king was he going to be? God was preparing him in his shepherding days in order to become a righteous king. But instead of David building God a house, God ended up building David a house. That's what he says in 2 Samuel chapter 7 from verses 12 down through verse 16, that he was going to build him a house. He was going to establish his kingdom forever. And so on your priest card, last question here. On your priest card, promise made to David about his kingdom. What was the promise made to David about his kingdom? His descendant, who's that? Jesus. His descendant would sit on his throne, on David's throne, forever. Did that come true? Yeah. You read even at before the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 1, about 30 down through verse 33, and there's that promise coming true that God was going to give him the throne of his father David. And you read Acts chapter 2, and that's what Peter preaches, that God has given him the throne of his father David down about verse 30 of Acts chapter 2. So David wanted to build God a house. That didn't happen. Instead, God built David a house. God built David a kingdom, and he put Jesus on the throne that he would sit there and reign forever. Why are David and Jesus connected? Because Jesus is a descendant of David. He is of the seed of David. Could Jesus have been our Savior if he was not of the seed of David? What if there was another really nice guy who lived a really nice life and then they nailed him to a cross, but he wasn't a descendant of David? Could he be the Messiah? Could he be your Savior? No, couldn't be. What if there was a really nice guy, and let me close with this about silence. What if there was a really nice guy, but he wasn't from the tribe of Judah? Would it matter that he was not from the tribe of Judah? Read Hebrews chapter 7, about verses 13 and 14, where God says he specified Judah, and the only way that the Messiah could be Jesus would have to be from the tribe of Judah. And if he was going to be from some other tribe, if he was going to offer sacrifices like the Levites were, then God would have had to change the law. But God specified Levi for the sacrifices. He specified Judah for Jesus, and that could not be changed. It's fun to study through this Old Testament, pick up on these stories, say, what do we learn from that? Who was the second king? Who was the second king of Israel? Who was the second king of Israel? Who was the second king of Israel? David, you're right. Okay. Who was the second king of Israel? Yes, he got it. Thank you all for being here tonight.